Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's get this started with some Bonnie Raitt.
I'm stuck in the middle. Feel a quicksand pulling me down. Love struck, don't mean a little. Head keeps spinning round and round. Ain't natural walking sideways. Love potion going to my brain. Lights out when you came my way.
That's Something Got a Hold of My Heart by songwriter Al Anderson for the band NRBQ and performed by the great Bonnie Raitt. Raitt held onto that song for 30 years before releasing it on her latest album titled Just Like That. It's accompanied by other covers by the expert song interpreter, including a track from Toots and the Maytals. And Raitt is also, of course, a masterful songwriter herself. She told me she tends to write longhand on a legal pad, and the album features plenty of gems of her own work, too. Bonnie Raitt was recently honored by the Grammys with a Lifetime Achievement Award, and her 1989 landmark album, Nick of Time, was just inducted into the National Recording Registry of the Library of Congress, so you can really call her an official national treasure. Bonnie Raitt joined us this week for an All of It listening party. Here's that conversation. So, Bonnie, the album was recorded in 2021, but I understand some of the songs were written as early as 2019 or maybe even had seeds that began earlier than that. So what was your early vision for this album?
You know, for me, each record cycle is kind of, you know, we're on tour for a couple of years when the record comes out. It takes about a year to prep, you know, book the tour and get the sets and the clothes and the promo and the website and everything. So really, it's before the 3 year cycle of getting it out there, I really take a few years to just sort of stock up songs that I love, and I have a list of things that I know I want to record down the line to see which records they might fit. And I look at it, I still look at it in terms of an album, in terms of, you know, not too many ballads, maybe have enough a little bit R&B and blues and rock and roll and some really sensitive, beautiful, you know, kind of folky things or blues things. And I kind of want to be able to play all these things live. And so I pick them according to, like, almost composing a good meal, you know, like there's just got to be the right mix of songs. So I had about 4 songs saved over the last few years, actually some of them going back to 2009 and one going back 30 years that I've been waiting for the right record. So I had the framework of this album, and then I wrote a few things that I really, and I knew I wanted to write something as the pandemic was unfolding. I knew I had to find a song on the record that spoke about all the loss that I've had and how I got through it. So I kind of, you know, went as I go along. That's how my process is. As it gets closer to being in the studio, I really hone in on what's missing. And then I tend to write the things that are, you know, that I want to add in.
I want to know more about that song that was hanging around for 30 years. That had to wait its turn for 30 years.
I know. Well, I've always loved it. I mean, it's funny. Someone was asking me whether when I listen to the old records or the fans will mention some older song. You know, actually, almost all of the songs I've recorded, even since the beginning, I probably would have cut again. You know, if I'd heard them, I would have fallen in love with the songs from the first or second album. Some of the ones don't age well, but this particular song is from one of my great songwriting friends, Al Anderson, who was a member of NRBQ, one of the best bands in the world, and in fact opened our tour a month ago in 8 dates in the Northeast. Al Anderson is one of the greatest singers and guitar players. I cut 3 of his songs on 2 albums ago on Slipstream. And this song is called Something's Got a Hold of My Heart. And he's sent me a lot of songs over the years. And this one, I just didn't find the right place to put it. So I knew that eventually it would go. And this was the album to do it. I just couldn't stand to wait another minute.
My guest is Bonnie Raitt. The new album is called Just Like That. Bonnie is playing the Beacon Theater on June 21st and 22nd. You're sole producer on this album, correct?
Yes, I've been doing that for the last couple ones, actually, but it's only because I have a great team.
What is something you're able to do, a sole producer, that really works for you, that you had that aha moment about, oh, if I'm producing this, this thing happens?
Well, you know, I'm so self-directed in terms of the, since the first album, honestly, I bring the songs to the, and my taste and my sonic taste for what kind of a sound I want the record to have. And I pick a producer who usually has an engineer that I love the team of them and what they've been doing. So each producer that I've worked with over the years, I just wanted to play in their backyard. You know, I loved what they had been doing with either Paul Butterfield or in Chad Blake and Mitchell Froom's case, the Kiko album by Los Lobos, the Richard Thompson albums. You know, I just wanted that sonic sound. And Don was, and Ed Cherney and I were a trio that really, you can't separate the artist from the producer, from the engineer, because it's the chemistry and the vibe and the musical taste of all of us. And I before I even settle on anybody to work with in the studio, whatever their label is, it's, we got to have an affinity for the same kind of music and the same kind of sound. So each record, I would say that, because I'm picking the songs and most of the musicians, and have everything to do with approving the mixes and the arrangements, it's really a collaboration, but I've been sort of driving since the beginning as well. But this last time, I think, you know, that I didn't really need to have a partner in the studio with me, because I've got a partner with my band and my engineer. So I really have the vision. When I bring the songs, a lot of them are already arranged. And when I show up at rehearsal with my guys with my new songs that I've written, I've had this band for so long that they're really, it's really a second language kind of osmosis. We just know where we're going to go. And, you know, they don't take it personally when I want to start over and take it to a different direction. So I think you're only as good as the team that you have. And so it was really easy to be at the helm officially, you know, the last few records.
I want to ask you about the sequencing of the songs on the album, because there are originals and there are interpretations. And I believe the first two songs are cover songs. And given you're a great songwriter, you know, some people would be like, I'm coming out with my stuff first. What went into that choice of that sequence?
Oh, you know, for me, the sequencing a record or sequencing a show, it really, there's a certain vibe that you want to put out right away when people haven't heard you in a while. And there's just there's songs that are great openers and for a set or an album, and ones that just lay there. You know, you wouldn't want to put a heartbreak ballad first. Mm-hmm. You got to put something with a nice groove to it. And also, I probably wouldn't have put the heaviest rocker I have on the record opening the show. Although sometimes I get a wild hair and put up John Hyatt's No Business, and I can't, and I feel like I'm in the Rolling Stones for the rest of the night. You know, I think Made Up Mind is just, when I picked that song from the Brothers Landreth back in 2014, when I first met them and when we played a festival up in Canada where they're from, they were on the bill and I fell in love with those guys. And I heard that song and I said, okay, that's going to be it. And that's probably going to be the first single on my next record. So that's what I wanted to open the album with, because it's just such a strong, great R&B groove. And with that blues guitar that Joey Landreth put on their version, it was a perfect opener, and then followed by the song I waited 30 years to put on there, that kind of soulful groove that's very infectious. And once you get that earworm from Something's Got a Hold of My Heart, they were just a marriage, those two songs opening the record. And they set the stage for Living for the Ones, which is the rocker that I put on of my own.
Well, let's listen to Made Up Mind. This is Bonnie Raitt.
But it starts out slow. It goes on and on.
Bonnie Raitt off the album Just Like That. Joey, one of the brothers Landreth, was quoted as saying about you covering their song, "I mean, it's the most exciting thing that's probably ever happened to us. Bonnie Raitt is legitimately one of Dave and I's biggest heroes. We grew up listening to her, and a big part of our development as musicians is thanks in part, certainly, to her music."
Oh, so sweet.
It's really nice. How do you tend to find new music?
You know, I'm always on the hunt, and I read a lot of press, which is a lot easier with the internet now, but it's more daunting because, of course, then you have the Americana magazines in the UK and, you know, the Australian Rhythms magazine, World Music magazines, No Depressions, American Songwriter, Rolling Stone. There's an endless stream of great journalism that has been my talisman and compass since I started. So I start out with calling a lot of friends whose taste I really respect, including a lot of other artists. And I sort of sniff around for an up and coming artist that I wouldn't have heard of. But a lot of it isn't going back and listening to the catalogs of artists that I love. John Prine, Randy Newman, Jackson Browne, John Prine. And just making sure there isn't something that I've overlooked. You know, there's just songs that I've loved of theirs for the years that I've loved them. And then suddenly, you know, dimming of the day, enough time went by where Linda Thompson's version, which is the definitive one, I said, you know what, it's been enough years. I think I can give this one a crack. So on Luck of the Draw and Longing in Their Hearts, I did some Richard Thompson songs that I just love so much. And it's kind of just a process of studying and research and listening. Letting it kind of simmer and see which rises to the top.
Who is someone that's put out a song or an album that really in the past few years has impressed you?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. I love her. I think she's fantastic. I'm, you know, a big fan of Billie Eilish and Adele. I just think they're so incredible. Their fresh approach as soulful and as alluding to jazz and classic R&B and pop singing. They're just their own voices, and they have beautiful songs and sensibilities, and they're carrying their careers, by the way, with so much poise and better advice than what we got when we were all starting out at my era. There's just, I'm going to blank, but I love Yola. There's just a lot of young bands like the Brothers Landreth that have been around for a little while, but for Americans, they're kind of new on the scene. I love Lake Street Dive. And again, those guys have been around for a while, but I probably the list would be too long. And after we're off the air, I'll remember about 15. Oh, I love Olivia Rodrigo. I think she's fantastic. Just fantastic.
Rachel Price's voice of Lake Street Dive is one of my favorite voices.
Oh, you got that right. And they've honored me by doing Nick of Time now in their set.
Oh, that's pretty great.
I know. They made a video in a bathroom. That's how hip they are, because they like the acoustics. I mean, and not just a video. They actually recorded it in the bathroom.
My guess is Bonnie Raitt. The new album is called Just Like That. One of the originals on the album, the song Down the Hall, was inspired by a New York Times article about a California prison hospice. And you thank the writer, Suleika Jawad, who happens to be the wife of a friend of our show, John Baptiste, comes by. And we wish her well, of course. She's fighting cancer again. How did that story lead to this song?
You know, you don't really know when something's going to hit you, you know, whether you fall in love or you see a rescue puppy or, you know, or whatever turns your head. Just like that, your life could change. I was reading, as I love to read, the Sunday Times, New York Times, and their magazines often cover topics that are just so eye-opening and heart-opening. And this one just blew me away. I had no idea there was prison hospice programs where the prisoners volunteer to be with people at the end of their life. And this beautiful article that Suleika wrote and Katie's gorgeous photographs that went with it moved me so much. I was just broke down in tears, and it stayed with me. And I'm still choked up just talking about it. And I knew at the time, what an incredible idea to write a song from the point of view of a prisoner that decided to volunteer for no, you know, early release, no money, no return at all, other than just the fact that he was in there, you know, bitter, broken, you know, options gone, probably regretting what he did if he'd even remembered. and out of the goodness of his heart decided to be compassionate and be there for somebody that needed help because they probably didn't have anybody at the end of their life. So I think especially in these days and years of so much cruelty and brutality and war in Ukraine and so much dissension and lies and delusion and animosity and racial fighting in this country, to have a story that's about redemption and grace and love is just so healing. And I think that's the climate of the last few years is really was what inspired me to make a song, not just be moved by the article. It actually inspired me to put this song on the record.
Let's listen to Down the Hall from Bonnie Raitt.
I had the flu in the prison infirmary. My last day I looked up and saw a man wheeled around the corner, down to skin and bones, that's all. I asked the nurse where he was going. She said, hospice down the hall. He probably won't be in there long. Any day we'll get the call.
Down the Hall from Bonnie Raitt. I have this image in my fantasy of Bonnie Raitt writing songs of you with a legal pad or a notebook, a moleskin, writing by hand out your lyric, writing the lyrics out. And when I see some young artists, they do it on their phones and their notes app. I'm curious
wow.
how you do it.
Oh. Well, if I'm out hiking in some place, because I love to be out in nature, that's why I live in Northern California, because I love to be near the redwoods and in the mountains and close to the ocean. And that's where I get the peace of mind and the inspiration a lot to have the time, the kind of time and space without distraction. So, you know, I have the notebook there, but so it just as likely that I'll be whipping out my phone and typing it in or dictating it. But I carry that legal pad or a notebook with me with a pen wherever I go. And I think I wrote Down the Hall on a legal pad, actually, and probably tweaked it a little bit sitting under a tree somewhere on my phone. So, you know, it's really fun to go from one long hand to the phone and back and forth and edit. It's like having a pal there. It's like a different part of your brain that says, no, you don't need that line. Mm-hmm. Take that one out and break it here. You know, sometimes I just come out all at once, almost finished, and then I really enjoy the editing process.
What is some piece of technology that you really do love and you really do like the way it has changed the music business or how we make music?
I'd have to say that the portability of the iPhone. I mean, I just happen to have an iPhone. Lots of my friends don't, and so FaceTime is out of the picture. So I draw a picture of myself and text it to them. I think to be able to do the voice memos in a cellular phone from anywhere and then listen to, you know, whether it's recording a birthday video or a birthday song for your friend from the top of a mountain, or in my case, finding a melody to the songs and trying different versions. I have that convenience coupled with the fact that you can actually access YouTube and remember whether the bridge of some obscure reggae song went like this or went like that. You know, you could, it's just an unbelievable gift to have the world of music, past, present, and who knows future at your fingertips with your phone. So I'd have to say the phone.
You are listening to my conversation with Bonnie Raitt. Her new album is titled Just Like That. More with Bonnie Raitt after a quick break. This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Singer-songwriter Bonnie Raitt has a new album out called Just Like That, and she joined us for a listening party to discuss the making of it, as well as her recent Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and more. So let's get back to Bonnie. You're your band. It's your band. These are your guys. You've been playing with them for a long time. Would you share with the audience who's in the crew and why you stick with this crew?
Well, my drummer, Ricky Fattar, I've just been a huge fan of since I first heard him with the Beach Boys on the Holland album, Sail on Sailor. And then, you know, the word got out through the recording scene in L.A. that this incredible conglomeration of musicians with Ian McGlagan from The Faces, Ricky Fattar, and Johnny Lee Schell from Texas on guitar, Ray O'Hara from Japan. They made an album with an Australian artist called Renee Gare, and then another one with Ian McGlagan, and they actually called it The Bump Band. And I asked if they would make a record with me, and I met Ricky that way in 1981 when I made my Greenlight album with The Bump Band. And so he moved to Australia, and they came back right around the time of Nick of Time. And I asked if he would consider playing on the record. And then when the record won all those Grammys, I was able to afford to, you know, bring him in and tour with him. And Hutch Hutchinson, my bass player, I met in 1983 or so when he was playing with the Neville Brothers. And we needed a bass player. Ours, you know, went back to Japan. And Hutch, Ivan Neville was the one that brought him into our band. And Ian McGlagan went to go play with the Stones. And so I had Ivan and Hutch from New Orleans. And so Hutch and Ricky have been the rhythm section for, you know, Hutch since the early 80s and Ricky since the 90s. George Marinelli was with me for a very long time, since Longing in Their Hearts in 93. And he's actually on a hiatus. He wanted to take a little bit more time off the road. But he's coming out. He'll be at the Beacon. He's doing all the big cities on both coasts, kind of cherry picking as the emeritus badass of our band on guitar. And you know, we did three songs together, four songs actually on the last three records, and this one, Living for the Ones Who Didn't Make It. I wrote the words, he wrote the music. So he's in and out of our band. On this record though, we have a new keyboard player who I met when he was duoing with Mark Cohn. He was playing second keyboards with Mark and singing. His name is Glenn Patcha, and folks might know him from Ola Bell with Levon Helm's daughter. Amy Helm was a very critic's darling, great band. But also Ry Cooder chose him to tour with him with, and then Roseanne Cash and Sheryl Crow. I mean, he's been in so many great configurations and was agreed to come on and play on the record and be on tour with us. So he's an incredible singer and an amazingly versatile keyboard player, and studied with Ellis Marsalis years ago in New Orleans and has the chops to show it. And Kenny Greenberg, whose guitar playing always knocked me out, met him in Nashville. He's married to one of my favorite singers and artists, Ashley Cleveland. Kenny came and played guitar on the record, but actually on the road this time, it's Duke Levine from Boston, who I've known for all of his work, incredible work with Peter Wolfe and some Mary Chapin Carpenter and a lot of different, so many albums, I can't even list them. So we've got George and Duke on the New York Beacon shows and on the East Coast. And the rest of the time, it's Duke and Glenn and Ricky and Hutch and four of us plus me. That makes a mighty, mighty sound from a few people.
One of the songs on the album is originally a Toots and the Maytal song, Love So Strong. When did you first become interested in reggae music? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. Actually, I was living in Cambridge. I went to college in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the whole anti-war, anti-Vietnam War, and the beginning of the feminist movement in the late 60s, early 70s, Boston had a hotbed of activism, like Berkeley and Chicago and Ann Arbor. There was just some incredible action in the streets and in the clubs, great music scene in the Boston area. I think there's like 300 colleges or something. But I wanted to go there because of the music scene as much as the cultural and the political scene that was going on. And right around that time in the early 70s, I was making my early record already, but the Harder They Come, this seminal movie about reggae, about Jamaica, opened in Cambridge and staged, I think, for 2 years at the same theater. And I fell in love with Jimmy Cliff and Bob Marley, and the Toots and the Maytals are a big part of that soundtrack. And that's when I first fell in love with reggae.
Let's listen to Bonnie Raitt's version of Love So Strong.
That you wish that I could go.
Bonnie Raitt singing off her new album, Just Like That. Bonnie Raitt will be at the Beacon Theater on June 21st and 22nd. Bonnie, in the special thanks section of the liner notes, you thank Toots Hibbard, as well as beloved friends lost to COVID and more these last 2 years. You list John Prine, Art Neville, Dr. John, as well as the keyboardist Mike Finnegan, who played on the album, your own nephew, Miles Raitt. And there's a song called Living for the Ones. When did you write that?
I wrote that song when George Marinelli, our longtime guitar player, sent me a track, as he's done a couple of times in the past, that I just fall in love with so much. He plays all the instruments. He's got them. He knows what I love to put my guitar on. And he kind of has these Stones rockers because we know we kind of write on assignment because we know we need them in the show and on the record. So he sent me this fully formed track of music, and I wanted to put this, something that had to do with what we went through these last couple of years. So I wrote the lyrics about in the spring of 2021, right before we were going to go. If the vaccines were coming in time, I was going to get the band together, because we had rescheduled Canada with James Taylor now 3 times, and then we found out that was canceled. So I booked the band to come out and record in June of last summer in 2021. So within a few months of that, I wrote these lyrics. And I first started to say to myself, I'm living for the ones who didn't make it, when my brother was fighting brain cancer back in 2009. And he went blind and he couldn't walk in the last months of his life after an 8-year battle with brain cancer. And I just said, you know what? I'm not going to whine about my life here. You know, I'm going to keep living. When he passed away, I'm just going to open my eyes and see and appreciate every day and live for the ones who didn't make it. That's how I really literally have gotten through all the loss that I've had from cancer and drug overdoses and suicides and the awful needless deaths from COVID. And thank God the vaccine has averted more horrible losses. But, you know, on top of that, we've got this nightmare of Ukraine going on. Mm. So every night I sing Living for the Ones Who Didn't Make It Cut Down through no fault of their own. You know, their chances denied. Just keep them in mind if you ever start to bitch and moan.
We are in New York City, so we love to recognize stage actors. And your dad was the Broadway performer, John Raitt. Your mom was a pianist. Do you have a favorite performance of his?
Oh, gosh. Thank you for mentioning him. I'm so proud to be his daughter, my folks' daughter. They both put me on the path to my activism, and they made me fall in love with all kinds of music, which is reflected in the wide range that I do. So of his songs, oh my gosh, I think, If I Loved You from Carousel. You know, he was the original leading man in Carousel in 1945. And If I Loved You, one of the greatest Rodgers and Hammerstein's compositions. I think that would be my favorite.
You recently received the Grammy Award for Lifetime Achievement, and it's usually given to a group of people, but you were the only recipient this year. You know, you've been in the business a long time. What does that honor mean to you? Is it this is nice, or is it like, wow, this is a really great thing to receive? Is it, I got a show to do?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I mean, what a surprise it was, because usually I always think that you have to be in your 80s or 90s and hanging it up, you know, before they give you the gold watch. So it was really, when I realized, you know, each year they honor about 6 or 7 people from the engineering field, from the, you know, all kinds of different music. And I was just not expecting it. And then because of COVID, they couldn't hold the ceremony this year. So I'm actually from the class from the previous year. And they were hoping that they could. I said, can I please be there in person to accept it? And it's a great honor. And to be starting a new album cycle and getting ready to go on the road after 2.5 years and get the Lifetime Achievement Award. And I got a Billboard Women in Music Icon Award a month before that. And then Nick of Time was just accepted into the National Registry in the Library of Congress. So it's been a heck of a spring for me to restart. So I have to say, I would have been happy just to put the record out and go on tour, but to get these honors from my peers is a wonderful gift, unexpected.
The name of the album is Just Like That. It's from Bonnie Raitt. She is playing The Beacon. She and her boys are playing The Beacon on June 21st and 22nd. Bonnie, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you, Allison. Let's do it again. I hope we still have women in music business rocking it out. When we talk the next time, we'll be able to count how many more executives and engineers and producers there are that look like us.
There you go. I'm in. This is Just Like That, Bonnie Raitt.
I watched him circle around the block, finally stopped at mine. Took a while before he knocked, like all he had was time. Excuse me, ma'am, maybe you can help. The directions weren't so clear. I'm looking for Olivia's hand. They said I might find her here.
The work of celebrated photographer and artist Wendy Redstar focuses on the life of Indigenous Americans and seeks to reframe our understanding of how Native people have been portrayed in art throughout the centuries. Wendy joins us to discuss her new monograph and art exhibit, both titled Delegation. That's next.
Support for WNYC comes from Willing Hearts Helpful Hands Caregiver Support Program, offering help to those caring for someone with Alzheimer's and other dementias. More at 516-586-1507 or willinghearts.helpfulhands.org. The Central Park Conservancy, who maintains 843 acres that need constant care. More information on how to help keep the park a thriving green space for all New Yorkers at centralparknyc.org. Bowery Presents, Robert Plant and Alison Krauss perform live at Forest Hill Stadium, Saturday, June 4th at 7 p.m. Tickets are available now on AXS.com.
How can we prevent future school shootings?
It's a fundamental question. Do we want to change? Or is this acceptable to us? And we have to start being more honest with ourselves.
I'm Elsa Chang. What some researchers and even the Secret Service believe can be done to make schools safer. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on WNYC.
This is WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820. NPR News and the New York Conversation.